how much I look like my dad. It's not a national possible. Is it that bad? Okay, it's good to be back. Good to be back. I want to start out today's message by asking you this question. What comes to mind when you think of the word single? What comes to mind when you think of the word single, as in not yet married? What comes to mind? Let me first read you a poem written by a single guy. He said, "Of all the girls that I ever knew, I never saw one I thought would do. I wanted a wife that was nice and neat, that was up to date and had small feet. I wanted a wife that was loving and kind and hadn't so much of an independent mind. I wanted a wife that could cook and sew and wasn't always on the go. I wanted a wife that's strikingly beautiful, intelligent, rich, and exceedingly dutiful. That isn't so much to demand in a wife, but she's still not found, though I looked all my life." So the search continues. When we think of singles, we think of single and available, right? Single and lonely. Single and looking. And you feel bad for them. You feel like somehow you just want to find somebody nice, match them up, and marry them off. Do them a favor or something. But today, God has a different message for us. God has a very different perspective when it comes to the singles in our midst. And God has an encouragement for all of us. So with that in mind, let's read today's passage. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul's advice to the singles. And it's really long, and let me just read it to you. Verse 26, it says, "Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. If you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. And I'm trying to spare you those problems." Verse 29. "But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very short. So from now on, those who have wives with wives should not focus only on their marriage." And let me skip to verse 32. "I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities, how to please her husband. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible." Verse 36. "But if a man thinks that he is treating his fiancée improperly and will inevitably give in to his passion, let him marry her as he wishes. It is not a sin. But if he has decided firmly not to marry and there is no urgency and he can control his passion, he does well not to marry. So the person who marries his fiancée does well, and the person who doesn't marry does even better." May God bless the reading of his word. Isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul encourages the unmarried to remain single? That he says it is better to remain single than to be married. And usually when I speak, I love it when people say amen. But today, if you're married, don't say amen, all right? Don't, all right? Okay, verse 1. "Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry," verse 7 and 8. "I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am." And notice the word gift. It's God's gift. What is God trying to say here? Number one, singleness is a blessing and not a curse. singleness is a blessing, not a curse. It is very clear from today's passage that not all are called to be married. Some are gifted to be single. Singleness is not a curse, but a blessing. It's a gift from God. And today, God wants to let us know many, many reasons, good reasons, why it is better to remain single. Now, some of you are single, but you're convinced that you don't have the gift. And you're saying, thank you, but no, thank you, God. I don't want this gift. I appreciate your honesty, but let's keep in mind the benefits are for you, even though it's just for now, this period of time. So look at some of the blessings, the benefits of being single. Look at verse 26. Because of the present crisis, and the key word here is crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. And it's talking about a time of distress. A time of distress. And that same word came up during Luke chapter 21, verse 23, where Jesus says, woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress. The same word, the great distress upon the land and wrath to his people. Hard times were coming, and Paul knew it. Paul knew that persecution would come. And history tells us that within 15 years from the writing of this letter, the first persecution against Christians broke out, and it would last 200 years. It is said, and those of us who are married, you can relate to this, the man who is a hero in himself becomes a coward when he thinks of his widowed wife and an orphaned children. Let me say that again. The man who is a hero in himself becomes a coward when he thinks of his widow wife and orphaned children. In a time of distress, in hard times, singleness makes good sense. Verse 28, it says, but those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you of this. See, those of us who are married, you know that there are troubles in marriage. Amen? Don't say amen. Okay, you know there are troubles in marriage. Troubles that we married people experience, that the single people, they have no idea, no slightest idea. They don't even understand what the troubles that we're going through. Marriage is hard. Marriage is very hard. It is said that marriage is the closest thing on earth to heaven, and it's also the closest thing on earth to hell. Don't say amen. The most miserable people in this world are not singles, but are married people. Can you believe that? The most miserable people. When you're single, there's only one person who can make you miserable, and that's yourself. But when you're married, it's a different story. Let me quote this. The only thing worse than wishing you were married is wishing you weren't. Young people, do not look at marriage as a solution to your problems. Amen? Do not look at marriage as a place where you can escape to so that you don't have to deal with your troubles. Verse 32, I would like you to be free from concern. A married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, verse 34, and his interests are divided. Marriage can be so complicated. There's so much going on in the context of marriage. And for those of us who are married, you know we have many, many concerns. For example, at our last college fellowship meeting, we had a senior send-off event. So we gather all these seniors together. We said some nice parting words for them, and then we lay hands on them and we prayed for them. Afterwards, we took some pictures together, and at that time, it was about 9:30 p.m. Someone came up with the idea, hey, let's go grab something to eat. Okay, time out. Let's just stop right there, all right? If you are single, you're thinking, hey, what a great idea. I mean, the night is young. Let's have a good time, right? When you're single, you're thinking, It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter how late you stay up. It doesn't matter. But if you're married and have a family, you better go home. Why? Because your wife is waiting for you. Your wife is waiting for you to go home and to rescue her from the kids. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. Okay. If you do go to, like, you know, you go to Krispy Kremes, you better buy enough to feed the entire family. 2,000, please. And, you know, you're reminded, wait, some of them don't even like the original glazed. And you're thinking, okay, what to get? And you bring it home and you have to referee over them, and you have to comfort those who are crying because they didn't get what they want. And it's complicated, people. Marriage is complicated. Paul says there are many benefits of being single. Many benefits. And today, if God has given you the gift of singleness, count it as a blessing from God. Singleness is a very viable option. Singleness is a biblical option in God's eyes. Today, if you're single, know that you're complete as you are. God loves you as you are. And I want to apologize on behalf of church family, of your aunts and uncles who are always trying to set you up, who are asking you, and why aren't you, you know, hooked up with somebody, apologize on behalf of them. See, you already have enough pressure from the world. You don't need pressure within your family or in the church. It's hard for young people, and we have to understand this. When we're in the church setting, the church is big on families, right? And so whenever we gather together, there's a lot of family events. And sometimes the young singles, they kind of stand out as a sore thumb. So let me speak to the church. Let's be reminded that singleness is God's gift to His people. Some people, not everyone, but some people, they can fulfill God's will fuller, better, when they are single. So when we see the singles in our church, we need to embrace them. We need to encourage them, love them as they are. So singleness is not a curse, but a blessing. Number two, we are to be content in God's calling. We are to be content in God's calling. All of us struggle with contentment. All of us, whether married or unmarried, all of us struggle with discontentment. The grass is always greener on the other side. Those of us who are single, you're thinking, if only I can be married. Those of us who are married, you're thinking, if I could be unmarried, or if I could be married to a different person. The grass is always greener on the other side. And Paul addresses this attitude of discontentment by saying, verse 17, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him. Verse 20, again, remain in the situation. Verse 24, remain in the situation. Next slide, verse 8, it is good for them to stay unmarried. Verse 28, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Verse 40, in my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. See, Paul's point is this. Changing your circumstances does not help you. Your heart. Changing your circumstances does not give you joy and happiness. Your happiness does not hinge on whether you are married or not. The singles here, there is a misguided notion that you are incomplete until you're married, or you're missing out unless you're married. The truth is this, no one can complete us. No one can bring us true joy. No one can except God Himself. Yes, marriage is great. It is a blessing from God, but marriage is not the answer to our problems, to our loneliness, to our frustrations. Only God is our answer. Our happiness comes when we are faithful to God's calling, wherever we are, whether single, whether married. Our happiness comes when we are devoted to the Lord's business. And let me speak to the singles, especially college, high school, or junior hires. Don't rush into relationships. Don't rush into relationships. The world is telling you to get hooked up, but joy does not come from that. There's no rush. Take the time to grow. Take the time to grow closer to God. Take the time to find out your identity in God. Take the time to develop that security that comes only from the Lord. Hooking up with someone will not bring us joy or security. On the other hand, many times, relationship will bring you, will distract you, will bring you away from God. So Paul wants us to know that every one of us are to be faithful to God's calling. And if it's God's calling for you, some of us here, to be single at this point in time, well, then be content in where God's placed you at. You need to trust God. Know that He knows what He's doing. Number three, our ultimate concern should be the Lord. And this is, I believe, Paul's conclusion for us. Our ultimate concern should be the Lord. Listen to what Paul says here. Verse 32, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please Him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. It's about living our lives in a way that we can be undivided, where we can give undivided devotion to our God. And that is the goal for all of us, every one of us. That is the main concern that God wants us to have. Listen carefully to what God says about the unmarried man or woman here. Listen, verse 32, to the unmarried men, single guys. He says, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. Let me ask, are the single guys here devoted to the Lord, concerned about the Lord's business? Verse 34, single women. An unmarried woman is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. Well, is she? Is she? Is that the goal for us, the singles among us, that are the main priority is simply to be devoted to the Lord and to His affairs? I wonder how the host of angels feels. The army of God, the Almighty God. You know, they're engaging in the spiritual battle. They're fighting nonstop. And then they're looking down from heaven and they see the singles among us. What do they see? Singles who are supposed to be devoted to the Lord's business, what do they see? Do they see dreaming, daydreaming about getting married? Do they see people busy rock climbing or roller skating or whatever the singles are doing these days? Spending hours and hours Facebooking, playing video games, fantasy football. See, I wonder how God feels when He looks down upon where He wants us to be devoted to Him. God's will and calling for us is that we are, all of us, to be devoted to His business. And same thing for those of us who are married and have family. Listen to what Paul says to us. Verse 29. But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very short. So from now on, those who have wives, those with wives, should not focus only on their marriage. Wow. See, The Apostle Paul is not saying we should not pay attention to our spouse or we should neglect them. No, the Apostle Paul is simply saying because the time is so short and this is time on earth is nothing compared to eternity. The Apostle Paul says, focus your eyes on eternity. Focus your eyes not on the things of this earth, but focus your eyes on God. But God gives us good things, right? Marriage is a blessing. Marriage is a good thing. And these things are to point us to Him and to live for Him and to give thanks to Him. However, very often we allow the blessings that God has given us to distract us from God. Let me read you this quote by John Calvin. All the things which make for the enriching of this present life are sacred gifts of God. But we spoil them by our misuse of them. The result is that the very things which are to be assistance to us in our pilgrimage through life becomes the chains which bind us. The very things that are supposed to help us in this life become the very things that bind us. Marriage, family, it's God's gift to us, but we should not let it become an idol in our lives. Jesus said, come follow me. But the person says, wait, I have married a wife. Jesus said, come follow me. But he said, wait, I've bought a field. Jesus said, come follow me. Wait, I must first bury my father. Remember Jesus' response to all three questions? He said, let the dead bury the dead. Ooh, how unfamily. How cold. What's he saying? Jesus is saying, put God first. Let God come first. Let the eternal things come first compared to the earthly things. And may God help all of us. Whether married, whether unmarried, let's be reminded, God created us for Him. We are to live for Him. He is to come first in our lives. And let's live our lives. Whether single, whether married, let's live our lives. Let's lead our friends. Let's lead our families to devote ourselves to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. So practical. It speaks to where we're at. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus our eyes on you, to be reminded that the time is very, very short and that we do not have control. We do not know if we have tomorrow. But Lord, as you give us life today, help us to put you first in our lives, in our family, in our marriage. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this song, You Are My All in All. And let's respond to God's message today by saying,